The epic journey of a baby Arctic fox trekking over 3,500 kilometres from Norway through Greenland and finally reaching Canada in just 76 days has stunned scientists and anyone who's been paying attention in the world. This is the fastest movement ever recorded by the species, according to researchers who tracked the fox's whereabouts with a radio tag collar put on the animal 2 years ago. Let's hear from the researchers. Joining us on the line, we have Dr. Eva Fugle of the Norwegian Polar Institute. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, this is Eva speaking. Thank you so much for having me.
And let me also introduce Dr. Arnald Taru of the Norwegian Institute for Nature Research. Thank you for joining us too.
Thank you very much for having us.
So, if I can start with you, Dr. Fugle, what was the purpose of the study? Were you trying to track stunning movement 2 years ago, or was there some other coincidental aim?
Well, we started this is a bigger project that we started back in 2012 with the intention of the program or the project was to study how these Arctic foxes as a species uses the area they live in during the whole year. How are they using the area during winter, spring, summer and autumn? So this was the main, because in Svalbard we don't have knowledge about that. We had some knowledge about how do they use the area during summer when they are reproducing and are getting their pups. But during the polar winter when there are completely darkness, we have very few observations and knowledge about how they are using the area. And we did not use radio collars. We used satellite tags that send signals to satellites to get the information about where the animals or the individuals were at during the time it was walking.
It's just incredible. It's a sort of journey you associate with the migrating birds or something of that nature. The idea that a land-based mammal or occasionally an ice-based mammal would be moving between countries and to go from a Norwegian island to Canada. I just can't quite get around that. And Dr. Taru, I understand you at first thought there was an error in the data.
Well, we needed to rule out that possibility at least, because we never know. Satellite data can have mistakes sometimes, and we needed to rule that out. So when we first started to observe that movement with Eva last year, it was at the beginning of the movement. So of course we didn't know what was going to happen, because the interesting thing with this type of satellite tracking is that we can get the data in almost real time. So we were starting to see this fox starting to move around and on the ice, but we didn't know where it was going. And so, yes, in the beginning we thought it could be an error, and we had to wait and analyze data a bit more thoroughly to make sure that it wasn't.
Dr. Fugle, what's also astonishing about this is that there were 50 to 60 animals then that were tracked, and this is the only one that even ventured outside of Norway. And boy, did it venture. I mean, was it totally random, do you think? Or is there a suspicion that this has been done before, but we've just never witnessed it? A freak of nature? How should we be viewing this?
You can say that. Now, tagged more than 50 individuals, and this specific individual, the female Arctic fox, was the only one that left Svalbard or Spitsbergen and really did that really, really long walk. But we knew from earlier, there are observations of tracks close to the North Pole. There are studies made by scientists of the genetics of Arctic foxes giving hypotheses and indications that there has to be movement over the sea ice between the Arctic and continents and between the Arctic islands. But of course we didn't know exactly how often does it happen. And of course it seems like as long as we have now equipped more than 50 foxes with satellite tags and only one of them did that really long walk, it probably don't happen very often. But we were lucky to actually capture that individual that did that long and, call it a fantastic and very interesting walk crossing the continents. And also she walked or crossed over Greenland before she reached Ellesmere Island and Canada.
It's one thing, Dr. Taru, to confirm that this wasn't some sort of data error. It's another thing altogether to witness this young fox going through this arduous journey and to try and get inside its mind. Can you guess at the motivations?
Well, we, as you say, we can only guess because we were not there when it happened, and we have only the movement data, so we have to infer everything from this movement data. So it's very difficult for us to say for sure what happened and what was the motivation. But we can have some hypotheses, and one of them is that there was maybe a food shortage at that time on Svalbard during that period, for in this area at least, and maybe that induced a more competition between the foxes. And this one was maybe curious enough and bold enough to start wandering around go and discover the world, basically. So it can be a combination of factors, but it's very difficult to say for sure which one it is.
Right. And coming also back to you, Dr. Fugle, when I first heard of this story, I was wondering whether some sort of climate change factor might have prompted this epic journey. But again, because of the tiny sample size of one young fox, it's impossible to draw any definitive conclusions, I imagine. Do you suspect, though, that there's any climate influence here?
Well, you could say maybe this was the last walk related to climate warming, and that the polar sea ice are reducing. It's really disappearing. So maybe this was one of the last time that we were able to record an Arctic fox travel on the sea ice. But of course, with the reducing sea ice, I think these we will not be, animals taking these walks will not happen that often, and maybe in the climate warmer climate, Arctic fox populations may only be found on isolated Arctic islands. That could be a hypothesis as well, because as long as the sea ice are disappeared, then they will not have any platform for walking any longer.
Yeah,
so that could be one consequences. Yeah,
it certainly implies, though, this journey, that the Arctic fox is a very hardy creature and may be able to cope with certain adaptations that will be required. Dr. Taru, we do hear of some of the great Arctic creatures that seem to be struggling a lot more. For example, the polar bear occasionally floating in on ice as it breaks away into areas of human habitation, looking in a state of starvation. It's happened on numerous occasions in recent decades. Are you particularly concerned about other species?
Well, I mean, in general, yes, we are worried for more or less all creatures in the Arctic and all creatures that will have to cope with changes, because we don't really know yet the magnitude of these changes, but we start to understand that they might actually be of high amplitude, and some of them will not be able to cope with those changes. And even for Arctic foxes, even if they are very hardy and very strong and can walk for long distances and long times, they still will have to face some consequences. And if the sea ice disappears, for example, they won't be able to do this kind of movement anymore. So they might be able to survive on islands, but they will be isolated from each other and at the scale of the entire Arctic. And this will have consequences for them as well. It will reduce the genetic diversity, for example, among populations. These are very long-term consequences I'm talking about now. But even for Arctic foxes, it could be a problem. So yes, we are worried for other species, of course.
Dr. Fugle, I'd just like to ask what happens to this particular fox that so many people have now got an emotional investment in. Does it stay in Canada? Does it come back to Norway? What sort of life does it have? Does it find other Arctic foxes?
Oh, it's a very good question, and I wish that Arnaud and me could give you a very good answer on that. But unfortunately, the satellite tag that this fox was collared with do not work any longer. It stopped working in February this year because these tags has a battery, and the battery lifetime don't last forever. So we wish that the tag should have lasted longer so that we should know where she is now. But what we can do is to hope that she met a male Arctic fox in Canada and that she reproduced this summer. But that is for sure only guessing. But we can hope.
Well, if someone spots a female Arctic fox in Canada with your tag on it, then they'll have an idea where it came from, whether the tag's working or not.
That's true, and she's of the blue collar morph, and in Canada, the blue collar morph are very rare, so a blue Arctic fox with a collar on, satellite collar, that would be that fox. So I hope that if someone can see her and find her, that she will be contacted.
Unless, of course, she makes the return journey and blends back in with the others with their tags on. Dr. Fugle and Dr. Taru, it's a fascinating story. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.